From GEICO Subconscious News, I'm Tammy Racing Thoughts. Tonight, you just left for work and had a non-specific feeling that something was happening to your place and it wasn't good. Dan?
Exactly, Tammy. It could be smoke damage, theft, or just too much caffeine, but you can't stop thinking about it.
But with renter's insurance through GEICO, your stuff is covered, so you don't have to worry.
And that's great, because the weekend is coming up and it's chock full of social obligations that are ready to fill that void.
Oh boy, will they, Dan? It feels good to worry less. It feels good to GEICO.
The Hard Shoulder with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Now, Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform, Jack Chambers, good afternoon, good evening.
Good evening, Shane.
Let's talk a few things we want to get to, but let's talk about the Exchequer figures. A deficit of 200 million, is it for the first quarter? Or we're just getting these figures now. I know you were at a press conference.
It's for the first quarter of the year.
First quarter.
And some of that relates to transfer to the Infrastructure, Climate and Nature Fund. So on a general government basis.
You put a big wad of money aside, haven't you?
Correct. We've put 1.6 billion from the Exchequer surplus to the Infrastructure, Climate and Nature Fund. So essentially we're running a surplus on a general government basis. Expenditure is in line with profile, marginally below profile, in fact. And VAT and income tax are the two main tax heads which we assess in quarter one. And both have had strong growth, which shows, I think, the resilience of the labour market, still strong employment and also strong domestic consumption.
Yeah, they're good figures. So in effect, it's a 1.4 billion surplus before you take account of the money you've moved into the two funds. As you say, income tax up well, VAT up well. There will be people listening to this who are saying, you're putting that money aside for a rainy day, but it's lashing rain outside. Why aren't you putting that some of that money towards helping the people who are protesting in Dublin today the country?
No, I appreciate there's a lot of pressure on families and businesses, but ultimately, as a government, we made a much bigger intervention than many other of our governments across Europe. The 250 million euro package only in recent weeks, most of which related to excise to cut some of the costs and the price increases at the pump, and also the fuel allowance of 70 million euro, which supports the four lowest income deciles. And again, targeting that support was important. But I think it's never been more crucial to put money aside in the context of what could happen. We know there's serious risks about inflationary spike, slower growth. And as a small open economy, we're really vulnerable to that. We've shown strong resilience in recent years, but there's huge uncertainty in what's happening even in the coming hours.
Okay.
And that's why we need to be very careful and responsible in how we intervene and when we intervene.
So, and we will come back to the protest a little bit later, but are you saying that there is an irresponsibility about some of the calls for increased spending coming particularly from the opposition and other interest groups?
I think people can see it on their TV screens and listen to the radio. They can see the huge uncertainty and the volatility in the world. The Asian economies are in a supply crisis. We're obviously have a price spike in the European economy. And we're managing serious risk. And that risk has and will have an impact on the growth trajectory for Ireland and other European countries. And we need to manage and carefully assess all that in the round in the context of any further interventions that we'd otherwise make.
Okay.
We know from the period from 22 to 24 between tax and expenditure, there was 10 billion euro inserted and spent in terms of fiscal interventions during that period. And we need to be very careful in any further response that we make, and because it has longer term expenditure implications. But this is more severe and profound.
That's visible, isn't it? Because the other thing I wanted to ask you about, I think we can say corporation tax probably too early in the year.
It is too early. So I think June and November are the two months.
And we heard for
our chief economist today that there's no change to the projections on corporation tax for 2026.
Okay,
they still expect it to come in as per the predictions in last year's budget.
Which is good news. But finally, can I ask you on this particular issue, spending 6.4% ahead of 2025, you're already in danger. And this is before we get into any measures you may have to take subsequently because of the war. You're already in danger of breaching yet again your spending limit of 6%.
We've seen a moderation of spend actually from January to March. It was higher in January. It's reduced somewhat, particularly on current expenditure, back to 6.3% for the first quarter of the year. But we are enhancing the control environment. seeking to pursue more efficiencies and also managing other expenditure pressures. Obviously, it's been commented on today relating to the Department of Education, and we're engaging with that department on that. But most departments have and are staying within profile, and enhanced control environment is a central part of our fiscal management, and giving greater latitude to departments on capital expenditure and infrastructure. And that's what will build the resilience in our economy and into the long term.
Minister, one of the things that is most clear to us all in the current climate is our lack of energy security here. Your colleague, Dara O'Brien, Minister for Energy, has said that he's agnostic on the use of nuclear power here. We are hearing that the Cabinet is discussing it. Is he right to be so, casual about it in those terms, when we are hearing repeatedly from experts that there is a solution here for us to become much more energy independent, and that these small modular reactors, that they are safe, that they are cheap, you know, that France has the cheapest energy in Europe and is quite heavily nuclear reliant. Why aren't we pushing for this as a possible solution? Many environmentalists in other countries think this is the green way forward.
Well, I think we should have a positive and open discussion about nuclear energy. We've spent 20, 30 years kind of holding ourselves to legislation which is introduced in the 90s in a very different policy context. And you're correct, in Europe and elsewhere, they're having an open discussion about nuclear because it provides energy security and independence in a time where we know so many countries are reliant on the concentration around the Strait of Hormuz. So I think, in fairness to Minister O'Brien, he's focused on implementing a lot of the objectives he has in terms of renewable energy in the short term. But I support a policy debate on this. I don't think, if we're honest to people, it's going to provide a solution in the short term. But in the medium to long term, I think we should embrace the opportunities of nuclear and have that broader debate on it, weigh up the pros and cons. But when we see most of the European countries, as you've said, correctly,
we're already importing energy from nuclear power plants to Ireland.
And I think, look, you hear the engineering community, the solutions that have been advanced in 10 years. We shouldn't insulate ourselves from...
Are you in favour of it?
I am. I'm in favour of having that policy discussion. I want to have that debate. And I think it could form part of our energy mix into the long term. I think, you know, as politicians and as people interested in policy, when I've gone to Europe in the last couple of years, colleagues around the table often discuss what they're doing in terms of their energy mix, and nuclear forms part of that conversation. And I think when people are seeing the real impact of particular geopolitics emerging in recent weeks, we have to look at energy security and look at the options that are there. And that's why I think we should have
extraordinary mindset in 1999 that we brought in a law that wouldn't even allow us to research nuclear energy here, its benefits or its potential for us. We weren't even allowed to look at the item.
Well, look, that was a point in time. I wasn't in politics myself. I was in primary school at the time. But I think you're even seeing some of the polling data. People are open to the conversation. They want an informed debate. I think a lot of it relies on the engineering community and others to set out the pros and cons. And I think it's good and healthy that we have that debate here when all of the European countries are doing it. But again, we have to emphasise it's not going to be a solution for Ireland tomorrow or next year.
No, obviously we'd have to develop it. I can only imagine...
We should look at energy security in a rounded way and have that discussion.
I can only imagine trying to get it through planning that's on board Planola. But last question for you, is it your impression from Cabinet in general that the majority of Cabinet is open to this kind of conversation or is that not the case?
I think there's an openness to having that debate and discussion. Again, it's informing, I think, a longer term policy objective, which has to be about energy security. And also, if you think about digital infrastructure into the long term, we know the constraints in our grid. If we want to embed growth and prosperity into our economy in the long term, there needs to be certainty and base load in terms of energy supply. And to be solely reliant on our current energy mix and excluding a particular policy discussion, I think, isn't a mature way to debate and discuss policy. And I think we should have it.
Minister, can I ask you about the protests today? Are people justified in shutting down our city centre, our capital city centre? Are they justified in shutting down our motorway network to protest?
I think there's been, you know, huge frustration from the public about the impact on the shutdown that's happened in motorways. We've heard from the Dublin business community and other businesses elsewhere where they've had less footfall today because of this. And I would encourage people involved to use the channels that we have, well-established channels like the Irish Road Haulers Association, the respective farm organisations, to engage with government.
Are you suggesting they don't have a mandate, these people?
I'd ask them to be cognizant of others, whether it's families coming home from school or not school, not this week, but families on the go or people coming home
from
work. They
say they're doing it for those people. That's their answer.
I think most people understand we've made a bigger intervention than most governments in Europe. We're keeping this under review, and we're being careful and responsible about what further measures would be taken, because this is so volatile and unpredictable. We have to be cognizant of that. And I think this escalation only undermines people and businesses.
They're saying we want people in government to talk to us.
But we have channels of communication.
Not to them, though.
We've representative organisations.
Your lines of communication are to different organisations who aren't involved in the protest.
Well, we have significant engagement with Dara O'Brien, with the Road Hauliers, with the farm organisations and others.
So that's who you talk to.
That's like, I'm a constituency TD. I speak to people that have various concerns and frustrations every day of the week.
Are they wrong to close down the city centre and close down the
motorway? I think they
should
desist from that. I think it doesn't help anybody, and we know the impact in the business community today.
Minister, how is your message, though, failing to land so clearly, because we have these thousands of people out protesting around the country? We did hear that the IMF today warning against exactly the kind of interventions that you have made, that you are going to increase the likelihood of stagflation in countries with spiraling inflation and weak economic growth. So that's a fear. So some people might say you've gone too far to support vested interest groups, but that message clearly isn't landing. People believe that you haven't done nearly enough. So is the government failing to communicate adequately what you've done?
I don't think so. I think if you look, we were careful and measured and in how we've responded to this. We waited a number of weeks to see what emerged in the Middle East. We made a targeted intervention around fuel allowance, which was appropriate for those most in need and those most impacted by increased energy costs, and also made targeted interventions around for the haulage sector with the diesel rebate scheme and also with excise. But the IMF are correct. We have to be careful around the level of fiscal intervention that's made and the budgetary strategy which emerges from a period where we could have slower growth and higher inflation. And that's why we're being careful around any further interventions, and why we were careful and targeted in the interventions we've made thus far as well. And it's getting that balance right, and also cognizant of the wider economic growth implications for what's the conflict that's happening in the Middle East and elsewhere.
Well, speaking of the Middle East conflict, just to finish, Minister, Donald Trump says a whole civilization will die tonight if agreement is not reached between the US and Iran. What's your reaction to those comments?
Comments are totally unacceptable and shocking and extremely worrying. We have innocent civilians that could be impacted and destroyed by such actions. And what we need, the focus of the global community has to be about de-escalation. But those comments are not acceptable at all.
Is it your understanding, Minister, that what Donald Trump is suggesting is a nuclear strike?
Well, I think that's been denied by the White House, but
civilization ceasing to exist.
Well, I just heard that I read earlier somewhere about that being denied. But look, that the commentary is shocking. It's unacceptable. It's inhumane, and we need to uphold UN principles, international law, and de-escalate what is causing serious global conflict.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform, Jack Chambers, thank you indeed for talking to The Hard Shoulder this evening.
Thank you.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.